You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing and exposing the powerful homosexual activist movement. And it's been quite a year on this issue, as many of you know. Many advances for the homosexual activist lobby, but the truth is not tinged in any way. The truth stands, and I'm happy to announce that we have a new board member at Americans for Truth. He's my friend and a great pro-family warrior, and I'd like to introduce him here today on the show. We're pre-recording. This will air, I believe, New Year's Eve in Chicago at 11 o'clock, and but you can always hear these episodes on the Americans for Truth Hour website. They're downloadable. They're easy to listen to on MP3. Let me introduce John McCartney to you. John, welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour.
Thank you, Peter.
You've been on here, and congratulations on joining Americans for Truth as a board member. I'd like to say that John is he's just one of the finest men I've ever met. And a wonderful, wonderful pro-family warrior. He's also, stood for life against the evil that is abortion on demand. John has, I've known John for actually many years when I was working in D.C. for the Family Research Council for CWA. I knew John by phone, but I got to know him here in Chicago, where Americans for Truth is based, outside of Chicago. And he's a wonderful human being, and it's a great benefit and a privilege to have him on the board at Americans for Truth. Of course, you know what you're getting into, John. Now you'll incur the wrath of the loving and tolerant homosexual lobby being affiliated with us. But let me just read some of John's bio. John has lived in Chicago almost 50 years, but he was born in Kansas City. He lived in San Francisco for 15 years, but that was a long time ago, John. That's when it was not known as the homosexual capital of the world, right?
You're right.
Okay, so San Francisco was a more decent place back where, when John lived. Actually, did you live near the Castro, which is the gay center now? Tell us about that.
Well, I lived approximately two blocks west of the Castro Street, and then... going up the hill, I'd go down the Castro Street and turn left. I would be heading by bus, what is a short bus trip, what is now the heart of the so-called gay district in San Francisco. It was at that time. It was a subculture that not much was known about by the general public.
And it's a very different place now. And, the San Francisco of today is one of the most widely ridiculed cities on the planet. They're always banning this and banning that, and yet they have great tolerance, for example, for people walking around nude in the streets, completely naked. They have these terrible sadomasochistic street festivals and a lot of the indecency that follows the celebration of homosexuality. But to go on with John's life, John was raised in Catholic schools. He attended the University of San Francisco, got a BA in history there, got a master's degree in English from Northeastern Illinois University. He's a veteran. You were in the Marine Corps, right, John?
Yes.
And you served in Korea?
Yes.
Okay, so he's 18 months active duty. You were actually, and I'm not joking here, John, you were a community organizer.
Yes.
Explain what that is. I mean, America does not have the best experience with community organizers, given our community organizer in chief in the White House.
I work for Pills and Neighbors Community Council, which is in the area of 18th Street and Ashland. And I also, we got a poverty grant, poverty program grant, and I worked under that grant in consumer education and dealing with housing problems and teen gang problems and so forth. And then at my wife's urging, because of the instability of that work, I resumed teaching. I had a teaching credential from California, and so I taught at Marshall High School on the west side. I went there right after Dr. King was killed, and I stayed for 27 years, and I felt I accomplished something, and I enjoyed my work there, even though it was tense at times, as you can imagine.
And so you were an English teacher for 27 years, so you know a little bit about what schools are supposed to do. And I'm sure your heart breaks when you see what schools have become. And now in 2012, we will have California schools officially teaching. Well, it's actually quote-unquote gay propaganda, but they're calling it gay history. Positive portrayals of homosexuals. We probably won't learn many of the negatives, right, John?
No, not if the machinery of propaganda keeps working as efficiently as it has been.
And we want to talk to you about propaganda because you're widely read and you know a lot about how propaganda works. But let me finish up with your bio here. You also taught you teach and taught character development in Catholic affiliated institutions.
Yes, a Minority Achievement Center for tutoring and supplementing the program offered by the public and Catholic schools, doing so at night and on Saturdays and summers.
You're also a union guy at one time, right?
I was in the International Association of Machinists. I was a delegate to the Labor Council in San Francisco. I was a member of the Teachers Union for 27 years, and I'm now a member of the retired Chicago Teachers Union.
And some of the craziness that comes out of unions, especially teachers' unions, John, must really warm your heart there. Well, especially the Chicago Teachers Union. What was it that just a few weeks ago? That was a different teachers' union than the one you're affiliated with, but I think. Or was that the same one, the Chicago Teachers' Union, where the woman, what was the crazy remark she made?
She insinuated that the Secretary of Education was effeminate. I think she spoke about his lisp.
Yeah, Arne Duncan.
And Arne Duncan. Yeah. And was off the cuff. She's a tough lady, and I'm sure she says a lot of things that get people upset.
Well, our beef with Arne Duncan is not that. Our beef is his avid promotion of homosexuality, including the hiring of Kevin Jennings, who is one of the most notorious homosexual activists alive today. And was appointed to serve under Obama, under Obama's Education Department, and that was he's now left. But of course, just one of the many, many pro-homosexual actions by our president. So, John, what about your pro-family work? In fact, the last show that we did, and you can find this on the web, our interview with John. I mean, you believe it's important to go directly to students. Students are getting so much liberal propaganda, so much pro-gay propaganda. You go right to the students' high school and pass out literature at various high schools and colleges in the Chicago area, right?
Well, as far as the as far as distributing literature, we do mostly pro-life, pro-abstinence work outside of high schools. We have been invited into high schools to speak at assemblies and more or less debate, but that's only one instance that we were invited to a high school, to an assembly. We have been invited to sit down with the gays, the LGBT group of students in some high schools and discuss with them, and it's been a very good experience. I've come out without any scars or black eye or anything like that, and these boys and girls are very receptive to the truth, the facts. What can they say if you offer facts and their moderator can't dispute it?
And the problem is the kids are often not given direct information from our side. And after you recommending me this many times, finally I went out with you one time Where was that? That was University of Illinois, Chicago. And we went out there and passed out some of your literature about homosexuality. And it was people were taking it. Then all of a sudden, finally, one guy caught on, one activist. He looked like a he seemed like a pretty ardent pro-homosexual activist. And he started yelling and screaming that we were bigots and terrible people and basically seemed like he was just trying to cause a ruckus. As a way of sort of stopping us, and then the security people came by, and it's just interesting. I think the idea of directly reaching kids with information, because and what we're going to talk about here with John, the pervasive censorship or propagandistic tone of the media these days, which has become rigid in its pro-homosexual orthodoxy, and it leaves very few options in terms of reaching these kids, John. I mean, even the conservative media sometimes is not game to really take on the homosexual agenda. And, and you know, the idea of going directly to the kids, I think, is something that's going to, I predict it's going to be something that will grow more and more groups. PFOX has done it, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, which is a pro-family group out of Washington, D.C. They have gone into, I believe, Maryland schools and passed out information because they've got an entree. And this is something that John has done. And it's one way, just one way to reach kids with information that they're simply not getting elsewhere. John, in our next segment, we're going to be talking about propaganda, how propaganda works, the methods of propaganda, and how the homosexual movement has really been one of the most successful propaganda movements in all of American history and perhaps world history, given the incredible transformation that's happened on that issue. We'll be right back with John McCartney. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're introducing our new board member, John McCartney, who's a longtime resident of Chicago and very accomplished you're not doing pro-homosexual work, John. Pro-family activist. John has been reading and educating and providing information about against the pro-homosexuality movement for a long, long time. And John, let's talk about propaganda, the way the homosexual movement has worked. You know, you've read about propaganda. Tell us, how does propaganda work, first of all?
Well, let me liken it to what happened to Senator McCain in North Vietnam. The brainwashing technique, which the communists used, I don't believe they invented it, was to take the target, the victim, the patient, and flood him with or her with positive information about an ideology, in this case, communism. Flood him with, everyone has a job, there's free medical care, et cetera, et cetera. And then to flood him with everything negative about the United States, racism, race riots, poverty, et cetera, discrimination against various ethnic groups, just flood him with negative information. And that's two of the legs of the stool. And if some informed person steps forward and says and challenges the moderator, the technician doing the propaganda work, he's clubbed, he's put in solitary confinement, he's dragged around till he loses this notion that he's going to inform people of the truth. And that's what's happening in our society. Everything, practically everything negative about the homosexual lifestyle has been screened out. If it slips through here and there, it's not dramatized. It's not given play. So consequently, someone like yourself, Peter, you step forward with negative information about homosexuality, like the event we had at the Christian Liberty Academy, and you can expect
Let's say what that was. That was when there were two pro-homosexual activists, we think, attacked the Christian Liberty Academy with large paver bricks, breaking the door, threw them in the doors, and also broke windows of the Christian Liberty Academy, which was hosting the Americans for Truth banquet. Yes.
And that's what happens to people who try to bring forth the negative, with really bring forth the truth. There can't be a dialectic unless you have two sides, and then there's some hope of getting to some truth on the issue. So I contend, I know many people would argue with me, I contend the American public has been generally propagandized, brainwashed on this issue. They see no, people just see no problem. All they see is, or read is a newspaper about two gay men who are adopting a child. They've been together for 20 years. Who could in their right mind object to this? Who could persecute these men or these two women? And there's a great deal of brainwashing or develops sympathy for a particular ideology or particular cause. And
because they're not getting any information. You're always
right.
And you're constantly reminding me, and John's a little older than I am, so I look up to him. actually, John just turned 80 this year, right? So we have a man of wisdom here, many, many years experience. But, you know, you're saying, John, for example, when we put out the press release on the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse, one of our questions was, how many of these young men, these boys, will one day believe that they're, quote, gay? So they've been molested by men. Their first sexual experience is with a man. And all that's just an incredibly horrific experience. And then they end up having this problem, and they decide that they're gay. Now, this has happened. We have many testimonies from self-professed gay men who say they were abused. And I raised the example of Don Lemon, the CNN producer. I'm sorry, CNN broadcaster. All over CNN, he now says he's gay, but he was also molested as a boy by a man, and so in the void of no critical information about homosexuality, such a charge, such a question might seem unreasonable. But when you become aware that many gay men testified to this early experience, it makes logical sense also, John. I mean, if you're molested as a child, it's going to have a very big effect on you in life. But if you don't presume that homosexuality is just a natural and normal condition, if you disabuse yourself of that propaganda, well, then it would make sense that people who suffered through that as a child would one day perhaps embrace this perversion of homosexuality.
Let me make one comment, Peter. If Wayne Besson and Truth Wins Out were really...
Oh, hold on. Let's say those are two. Wayne Besson is a radical homosexual activist.
Okay. Well, let's just say if those that oppose efforts to reorient homosexuals would listen to what you're saying, and instead of attacking you, who have hope for homosexuals changing, they should be attacking the people who did the abuse. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They should be attacking, criticizing the teachers in elementary school or middle school who convinced them they were gay when they really weren't. Their artillery is turned to the wrong target.
But they're invested with the almost pathological obsession to promote the idea of gayness, which is just homosexuality as an identity, to present that as a good, innocuous, just a almost innate. Not there's no choice at all to them, and so that becomes the guiding principle of their ideology, and so it's working backwards. Gay is good, as Frank Kameny, the old homosexual icon, who passed away recently, used to say, you know, so if you start out with gay is good, you work backwards, as opposed to common sense, which would say, wow, a gay guy who says he was abused, hey, do you think that had anything to do with you embracing homosexuality? And so many are in denial about that, John. So I think the propaganda affects the actual, the homosexuals themselves are affected because they're swimming in their own propaganda. Now, as a lifelong Catholic, we got 4 minutes till the break. Tell me about how you view the whole scandal of homosexuality, pedophilia in the church. It seems to me that if this were a planned assault, it could not be, have been carried out with greater efficiency and success than what actually happened.
Well, in the 60s, the Catholic Church, being a human institution as well as divine, let down the certain barriers that they had in the seminaries, rules about seminarians not being a room at, after a certain hour alone or whatever. Certain reading material, they let down these barriers or abandon these rules. And in any institution, all male institution, you're going to have some people who are attracted to the same sex. Well, Sandusky, what could be more male than the Penn State football team? You're going to have individuals. And some of them are going to be predatory, and if they're having a satisfying life there and clandestinely engaging in sexual behavior, they're going to make that known to the subculture, and you're going to have more and more and more. And
were the standards let down, too, of people getting into the seminaries?
Oh, yes, but not only getting into the seminaries, but rules to prevent the acting out of same-sex attraction within the seminaries. Any student that did that back 40, 50 years, 60 years ago would be expelled. But gradually we have some seminaries that they're pretty much taken over. I understand. I wouldn't name them because that's only hearsay by homosexual cliques. And I just recently in Boston— some priest raised a furor over a column that linked sexual attraction, posited sexual attraction as an opportunity for satanic influence to be exercised. Well, this is a – read the Bible, you know. Sets these influences in motion is waiting for an opportunity if you believe scripture. So anyway, this priest, he stirred up a furor and forced this columnist to resign. And the columnist was an advisor to the bishops on the Committee on Marriage and Family in Washington. And he resigned from there. And I think I wrote a letter to the cardinal and said, I think he should have stood his ground because he's on sound. If you're embarrassed about your own doctrine, I have no hope for any particular cleric or minister who is embarrassed by Christian doctrine.
Yeah, and the pressure comes to bear constantly. And we have a minute left, but what I want to talk about after the break is, so as you said, the standards were loosened in the Catholic seminaries, homosexuals, the number of homosexuals practicing grew. Now, John, this is the homosexual side likes to say this is just pedophilia. This is completely separate from homosexuality. 30 seconds, then we'll continue after the break about that. We'll just pick up after the break. But essentially, this is so incredible. The homosexuals got in. They molested boys. Then there was a cover-up of the molestation. And when the cover-up finally blew sky wide, we see the effect. And homosexuals now point to the Catholic Church and say, don't listen to them. They're a bunch of pedophiles. It's rather astonishing because homosexuality was at the root of the entire crisis. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support. but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. As always, Americans for Truth needs your help. So if you can make a donation, do so. You can do that at AmericansForTruth.com. Just go to the donate page, click on donate. You can donate with your credit card there. We're talking to John McCartney, who's a new board member at Americans for Truth, a longtime friend of mine. He's a great activist, and he's a darn good man. I've come to know him, and I appreciate all that John has done for Americans for Truth. Okay, John, let's go back here to the Catholic Church. So, as I described it, it must outrage you and all Catholics that homosexuals and liberals are now discrediting the church with a scandal that they helped cause, that they had a chief role in.
Well, that's apparently true, as the Catholic League publication Catalyst cited not too many months ago, and time after time they've done so. 85% of the instances that took place were male on male, and only a small percentage were what you would consider children. A 12-year-old, a 14-year-old is not legally a child. I mean, not technically a child.
Most of the abuse against adolescent,
post-pubescent,
yeah, right? And a huge number of boys. Now, if there were no connection between homosexuality and pedophilia, then wouldn't 99 in all the cases of pedophilia across the country, John, wouldn't 98 or 99% of the victims be girls?
That would make sense.
I mean, if homosexual men comprise 1 to 3% of the population, then why would there be, let's just say it's 20% boy victims or 30%? Why so many boy victims? We're not saying every homosexual is a pedophile. We're not saying every homosexual wants to molest boys. What we are saying is that there is a connection between two perversions. Homosexual behavior is a perversion. Pederasty is a perversion. And actually, the whole history of homosexuality, male homosexuality, is rife with pederasty, John. Is that not the case?
Yes. And even the ancient Greeks, it was very common for an older man, a warrior, or lawyer or whatever, to have a male mistress, so to speak, a much younger man. And I mean, that's as far back as I can go. I mean, to Roman times and so forth.
But John, the way the church is discredited, you're Catholic, I'm not, but it's not, and of course, it's not just the Catholic Church. Every institution can be there are plenty of institutions, teachers, there's a large number of children victimized by predators in schools, in public schools, in private schools. This is not just a Catholic thing. What's amazing is the homosexual lobby, the lengths they go to say this is completely divorced from anything to do with homosexuality.
Well, I think they leaned on the John Jay College University Committee.
Explain who that did, what the John
well,
Jay.
It was pretty evident that from all that went before that they were going to make the connection that you just made. But all of a sudden, through some sleight of the hand, this was all pedophilia.
Yeah.
Okay. And pedophilia, again, by definition, is predatory sexual behavior with children. And 90, I don't know how many.
I think it was over 80% over 80% were boys, number one.
And about 2% were prepubescent, maybe 5, 6, 8 year olds. But the rest were boys, teens. Okay. But look, you're underrating the gay activist. Here we had this terrible plague of AIDS, and they turned it around to be able to go into the schools and teach and celebrate behavior that causes AIDS.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah. That is amazing. The AIDS crisis became a means by which to grow gay power in the culture. And still, and you look at the recently they just had an AIDS convention here in Chicago, John. It's a huge industry. And of course, we don't want anyone, people who are suffering, we want them to get treatment. But it's amazing how the CDC, for example, they crusade against homophobia. They don't close down the bathhouses. You read, of course, the gay bathhouses have long had they were a catalyst for the AIDS crisis in the first place in San Francisco. You read Randy Schiltz, who's a homosexual, now deceased author. The bathhouses had a role. Why aren't the bathhouses closed if we're serious in this culture about shutting down HIV?
Well, if that's a question for me, it comes down to homosexuals and lesbians gravitate to centers like Houston and Dallas and San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and they develop swing political power. They vote 93% in Chicago. That's political power. And naturally, politicians want to keep them on their own side, so they will ignore. Once in a while, a brave, socially concerned individual would raise the alarm, but he's smothered by the politicians who want to keep the gay activist, gay population on their side, and they want their buying power and so forth. And many homosexuals are in advertising, radical feminists. And they can punish someone in the news media that touches on this issue.
Well, we know in Chicago the issue is largely censored. It's just Chicago has a very, very strongly pro-homosexual media, and it has helped establish and keep homosexual power in the city. And I remember when Matt Barber was fired by Allstate, the other board member of AFTA. Fired because he wrote an article on his own time against the homosexual agenda. He was sometimes set to have an interview on a radio station, and then all of a sudden it was dropped. So Chicago has a suffocating political correctness. But John, we've only got 1.5 segments left. While we're on the subject now of propaganda in the Catholic Church, let's look at what recently happened to Cardinal George. Cardinal George was on a TV interview, and he was asked about the rerouting of the gay pride parade in Chicago so that it doesn't go around a church. Is that right, John? And he said, here's his quote. He said, "Well, I go with the pastor. I mean, he's telling us that they won't be able to have a church services on Sunday if that's the case." Obviously, and I'm adding my own insertion here, if the pride parade goes right by the church during church hour. And Cardinal George continues. He says, you don't want the gay liberation movement to morph into something like the Ku Klux Klan demonstrating in the streets against Catholics. So I think that's what's happening. I don't know that it is, but I would respect the local pastors' position on that. Then I think that's a matter of concern for all of us. Unquote. So Cardinal George is saying he doesn't want these rowdy and these licentious parades where we have documented public nudity and all sorts of body behavior. He doesn't want that passing by a church on Sunday. Now, Wayne Bess and another homosexual activist are calling for Cardinal George to resign.
I saw that on the internet. All I can say, what first came to mind when I heard that and we started talking about it, it could be, I don't ever recall the cardinal. I correspond with him and have met him and so forth. I don't ever recall hearing him use terms like, the terms that we use, like gay liberation and so forth. But he may have undoubtedly read in the paper about the assault of the gay activist on the Christian Liberty Academy. I mean, throwing concrete chunks through the window wrapped in plastic with death threats or threats of harm on the plastic. This made the papers finally in Chicago.
Barely.
Well,
but
I'm sure.
Made it.
I know my daughter has been at events where she's volunteered and she's seen him in the kitchen having coffee reading the Sun-Times. So he reads the Sun-Times.
And this is Cardinal George, Francis George, who's the Catholic cardinal in Chicago. And now they're pressuring him. And John, you made the observation. Let's talk about another case. Just this, how the homosexuals are always aggressive, always demanding, apologies, and they're. It's sort of this they've become the modern bullies with their incessant demands for apologies. The idea of Wayne Besson being offended any comparison to the fringe group. Wayne Besson is one of the cruelest homosexual activists out there. He's the one who harasses ex-gays. He tries to say that ex-gays don't exist, that you can't change your quote-unquote sexual orientation. Wayne calls me Porno Pete. He called me Porno Pete. Imagine having your name attached to pornography. He called me that on an interview. So Wayne doesn't care, but he doesn't respect people. And yet he's out there as the supposed arbiter of tolerance, John.
Oh. Well, let me just say this as you were talking. These men and women, these activists, I distinguish that from very close friends of mine who are live and let live. These activists, like the Red Guard in communist China, Mao's Red Guard, they comb through people's past to pick up some line that they can pull before the public and say this person is prejudiced, like they did with this mayor of Troy.
Yeah, we're going to talk Janice Daniels, the mayor of Troy, Michigan.
Yeah. She, at the time of the heated debate over marriage in New York, she went on Facebook and said something like, I'm going to unpack my suitcase, which I intended to use going to New York because of what the queers did or something.
She said the queers can marry in New York. She used the word queers. Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's be clear. We got 45 seconds, John, but the homosexual activists use the word queer all the time.
They're proud of it. And black people are not proud of the N-word. They don't use it in public. So there's no correlation there. They have given this woman the Red Guard treatment, and I wrote to her and explained what was happening.
Yes, now, and we're talking about Janice Daniels, the mayor of Troy. We'll pick up after the break, but basically she did apologize, but they still harangued her. They videotaped her. They had people demanding that she step down. And again, it's this incredible aggressive tactics of the homosexual lobby. We'll be right back after the break with John McCartney. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to our friend John McCartney. And again, if you can support Americans for Truth, please do so with a gift. You can donate at americansfortruth.com. Hit the donate button at the top. And John, you know, you're talking about this poor mayor in Troy, Michigan. And you're absolutely right. They dug up information. They found it on Facebook. I think some gay kids, some gay activists, young people did it. But I saw one of the YouTubes. She apologized, but then she said, you know, you could tell she's sort of stunned by all this. She said it was just a word. You know, you would have think that this woman just called for the gas chambers for homosexuals. She said the word queer. She said she regretted using that word publicly. As I said, and you're absolutely right, there was a group called Queer Nation. I think it's defunct now. Homosexual activists are constantly calling themselves queer. They say they want to reclaim it. Are we to the point now where we have sort of a semantic apartheid? You know, you can only certain people can use the word queer positively. We're not able to say it. It's just ridiculous. But the larger point is homosexual activists know that these aggressive tactics work. They tried it on Sally Kern in Oklahoma City. They, of course, Anita Bryant, the pie in the face, Dr. Laura Schlesinger. They are now demanding compliance. And they are, you compared this to, what was that? You compared this to Mao's
right.
The Cultural Revolution in China, where they're how would they? You know, of course, we're not saying all gay activists are like Mao, but the demanding of the apologies.
There's a pattern, the incident, and it's blown out of all proportion, and it's interpreted by the gay activist rather than maybe a traditional and conventional interpretation. Then there's punishment called for. Could be fine, imprisonment, execution. In China, the Red Guards demanded that these senior administrators that were politically incorrect would kneel in a public square and beg tearfully for forgiveness. And then some concession, they would concede some of their property. In Troy, Michigan, the pattern was incident, apology, punishment. She should resign.
Yeah.
And then if And then they would step back and say, but maybe if you make concessions to the gay community, we will take the pressure off. It's a pattern.
Yeah, but somehow the homosexual activists, who are some of the nastiest activists in our culture, they never have to apologize. Here's Wayne Besson's group, Truth Wins Out, on Cardinal George. He says, clearly, he has crossed the line. He has crossed so far over the line of basic decency. Wayne Besson is about as far from basic decency as you can get. I mean, it's fine he disagrees with me, but he's got to call me a name attached to a vile behavior. Homosexual activists are constantly calling their critics gay. They all, you know, everybody's a homosexual. That's why we do what we do. They demean religion. They are always often using vulgar attacks, calling people homophobe, which is another manipulative word, implying that people have an irrational fear. I mean, John, for this group to be the one talking about fairness, tolerance, and decency is just outrageous.
Well, I just want to make one quick comment. Peter, when we were at University of Illinois, you know that fellow that went ballistic, he used some profane terms at you,
yeah,
who happened to be in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he screamed to get these guys out of here. I think he was an ACLU representative on the campus.
You know, well, it's just this pattern continues. Homosexual activists do the outrageous thing, but they're never really held accountable by the media. And you, let's talk about Dan Savage. You know, I think this is a classic example, folks. In this election, the homosexual activists have behaved so incredibly nasty attacks on people like Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann. They did a glitter attack on her office. They're upset that Michelle Bachmann's husband's clinic actually might have tried to help people leave homosexuality behind, as so many people have left homosexuality behind. But again, that crossed the line. That's unacceptable behavior. And so what did they did? They do. They said Marcus Bachmann, her husband, Michelle Bachmann, they said her husband was gay. Oh, it's obvious that he's gay, even though they have a good marriage. Oh, he's a homosexual. Oh, and then they accused him of this other phrase that Wayne Besson coined, pray away the gay. John, talk about that. That's obviously a term, pray away the gay, which is meant to belittle and demean people of faith.
Well, they deal in confusion. I mean, if you have a strong attraction to the same sex, you pray that you can deal with it. You can't demand that God remove the attraction. I have alcoholics in my family. They if they were to recover, become dry, they would not lose that desire for alcohol. They would manage it. And Besson denigrates reorientation therapy because in every case it doesn't remove the desire. When I quit smoking, I used to wake up at night believing I could still smoke. I wanted to smoke so badly. I mean, that desire is still with me. I can't smoke a cigarette today.
Right. And then the vile attack of Dan Savage on Rick Santorum. You know, Dan Savage, who actually, I believe he said that the pro-family representative shouldn't be even featured on media stories dealing with homosexuality. He said, oh, you know, there's no other side to this issue. And yet this person, this man, who was he raised in Chicago, raised Catholic in Chicago?
He was a baptized Catholic Christian. He went through Catholic schools. He was a contemporary at St. Ignatius High School. He didn't know my son. My son-in-law doesn't remember him, but chronologically, they're contemporaries.
And here's Dan Savage, who he was so upset that Rick Santorum had made a criticism of so-called gay marriage. So upset was Mr. Savage. He was a sex columnist. That he polled his readers on let's redefine the word Santorum. He created a word that was a vile byproduct of homosexual sodomy. So it's interesting that he had to go to the dirtbag of homosexual sodomy to get out the worst thing he could to tar Santorum as best he could. Then once he got this redefinition of the word Santorum, he put it on a website called Santorum.com and purposely trying to hurt Santorum's people. He wants people, when they Google Santorum, to come up with this despicable name. Now, if a conservative did tactics like that, they would rightly be contemned as bullies, as just going beyond the boundaries of civic debate. And yet somehow Savage, he still has the respect of the media, John. So there's a clear double standard there.
Oh, definitely. He has a column in a very popular yuppie, a paper that appeals to yuppies. And I'll say this. I've read it a number of times, or read half of it. It could turn you off on sex. It is so...
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have a homosexual activist as a sex columnist advisor.
No.
given the health risks associated with homosexual sex, and they are many, and that's another thing we haven't had too much time to talk about here, John. But John, you've written many letters. You are a very big fan of responding to media bias and responding to these stories and getting involved. How do you see, we got a minute left, how do you see this issue going in the years ahead?
Well, if we have to get out the facts, the truth will out. There are a million Americans with HIV/AIDS in this country, and 532,000 are men who have sex with men. 61% of the new infections are of men who have sex with men. And the new breeding ground of AIDS is between men between 13 and 29. Get that out in the public, and people snap out of their brainwashed state. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, people are inundated with one side of the issue, and they need to hear the other side. Well, John, thanks so much for joining Americans for Truth's board and for being on the show. And we look forward to many years working together ahead. Folks,
thank you, Peter.
And we're so pleased to have John with us. Folks, you can reach, see the old interviews of Americans for Truth at americansfortruth.org. You can also make a new donation at the start of the year here at americansfortruth.org. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.